question.
April 16th, 2000. Our question this week has three parts. The first is, we would like some information from Quo on what the experience each of us will face as we go through the experience of death will be like. We've heard a lot of things said about it, that there will be guides and friends and teachers there to help us acclimate and so forth. We would like Quo's perspective on what this death into life transition is like. We would also like, if possible, for you to relate that or to continue on with the concept of what our entire evolutionary process is like from the third density on. Some writers here in the third density have mentioned the possibility of skipping the fourth density and going directly to the fifth. And we were wondering what Quo's take on that might be, if that's possible or if not. And then if you wouldn't mind a third part to the question, we would also like some information upon the discrimination between positively and negatively oriented discarnate entities that we here can use in our own daily lives so that we might be more aware of the information that we're dealing with.
We are the principle known to you as Akul. And we greet you in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator in whose service we are. We thank each of you for making the effort to join in this circle of seeking on this day. For truly it is a blessing and a privilege to us to be called to this group by the energy of your desire to seek and to know the truth. It is a blessing to us to be able to share our thoughts, and also because this sharing of our thoughts to those who would seek to know them is our chosen area of service to others. And so we depend upon groups such as yours for our opportunities to be of service to your people. Consequently, you loom large in our life at this time. We are most grateful to you. And we know what it cost each of you to be here this day. The will and determination that it took to lay aside those other things that are of concern to you that you might seek in this manner. We greatly appreciate your dedication. As we share our thoughts with you, we wish you to know that we are those with opinions and information that we have come to feel is valuable in spiritual seeking, things that have stood the test of time for us. However, we also know that in speaking to a group, we cannot be all things to all people. And consequently, that which we have to share may or may not resonate with your own personal truth. And we would suggest that each of you does have an extremely efficient and very sensitive apparatus of discrimination, which is, for the most part, a portion of your intuition rather than your logical mind. When you hear our information, do not simply ask yourself if it sounds logical, because we generally do sound logical. However, our truth may not suit your seeking at this point, for there is a movement and a liveness to truth it evolves for each seeker. And we would not wish you to hold on to something that would turn out to be a stumbling block. So use what seems helpful to you, and if you would, it would be very helpful to us if you would simply disregard and leave behind all other thoughts. Neither we nor any is an authority for you. You are the authority for yourself. We encourage you to trust in this energy of discrimination that you have within you, and when you sense a thought that resonates with your own, seize it and work with it. And when you do not, release those thoughts that do not ring true. We are aware that we would speak with you this day about the processes involved in what you call the death of the physical body, and would only preface our discussion of this interesting subject by noting that the living of the life is at least as interesting as the ending of it, so that we encourage each of you not only to think of the goal or ending of that great adventure in the middle of which you are now walking, but you think of the death of the physical body as a portion of an ongoing experience of living that is not ended by birth or death or any ending whatsoever, but rather that each of you is a citizen of eternity, and that you were in your spiritual integrity a creation before the world was created, before the universe as you know it was created, indeed before this octave of creation was present. For you have been a spark of the one infinite creator, a child of the one great original thought for eternity. And there is no end to you or to me or to any part of the one infinite creator. Having said this, we feel more comfortable with focusing upon this portion of the experience of the incarnation, which is the physical death, and that which occurs directly after the physical death. Perhaps in order to create a more coherent explanation, it would be helpful for us to look at the basic plan of what this instrument would call the octave of creation that represents the creation in which you are now involved. As the one known as Doug was saying earlier, this consists of the seven notes, shall we say, of existence in the octave that you now experience. And we would ask you to think of this term, octave, as specifically musical, or alternately as that which is colored. One may either think of the musical scale of the first note through the seventh note, ending in the octave of the first note, which is also the eighth note, the same note, one octave higher. Or you may think of the rainbow with its red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet, ending once again in that octave of color, which is, shall we say, the white or octave density, which moves without noticeable change into the first note or density of the next octave. The first density is that density of elements where the lesson is simply being. The second density is that density which you enjoy when you step outside. It is the density of the animals and the plants that turn towards the light. And it is the density of awareness, not self-awareness, but that awareness which is wishing to turn to the light, to seek the light for growth, for food, and so forth. Those which are animals within second density not always seek the light for food directly, but seek those plants and animals which have sought the light in terms of food. And consequently, this very large density is a density which is one with the infinite creator. It is not self-aware, but it is aware of the truth. There was never a discontented flower, for instance, nor a rebellious wild creature. These entities know who they are and do not have questions concerning their nature. It is in the third density, which you now enjoy as what this instrument would call a human being, that you experience that self-awareness that asks, who am I? Where am I going? What are my goals within this experience? And the higher densities after third density pivot upon third density because third density is the density wherein self-aware beings take stock of their situation and determine the nature of their further seeking. Seeking is all about loving. And the question becomes, how do I express love? Usually this is conceived in terms of service. And the question of how to love becomes the question of how to serve. There are two basic options for service to those who have come to this point in their spiritual evolution. One option is to serve the Creator by serving others as though others were the same as the self. The other option is to serve others by encouraging them to serve the self. The rationale there is that the self is the creator, and consequently, when others are serving you, they are serving the creator. This is called the service to self path, as opposed to the service to others path. And in many ways, it is difficult for those within third density, especially wanderers, to recognize the difference between service to self and service to others. For those who wish to help others in terms of service to self are often extremely dynamic and charismatic entities who wish to control and manage the affairs of others for their own good, as the one known as Marilyn said earlier. This can be extremely fatiguing and difficult to deal with for those who are focused on service to others. And it is indeed a challenge when a service to self entity is faced with those who wish to control or manipulate. We can only encourage those who seek to advance themselves through service to others to continue in that path in faith that regardless of the seeming disadvantages of this attitude or point of view, the energies involved in responding always in terms of service to others over a period of time begin to have their own momentum, thereby moving the self into a point of view which is enough changed that the efforts of service to self manipulation are seen as less fear provoking and more provoking the desire to pray for, care for, and love those entities which seemingly would wish to manipulate you. This kind of choice begins a process which we have called polarizing. And for the rest of your third density experience, once you have begun to deal with this basic choice, you will be repeatedly and on various levels as you proceed through the incarnation, be involved in times of observing, evaluating, and responding to situations in which you have the repeated choice of service to self by control, manipulation, fear, and defense, or service to others with no control, no manipulation, and only blind faith and a hope of meeting others in their needs in such a way that you may be of service to them. This process of learning to love goes on through the next two densities. The next density of your experience after this one is the so-called density of love and understanding, the fourth density. The density after the density of love is then called the density of wisdom. You will note that the density of wisdom is not called the density of understanding, for understanding is that which is of the heart rather than the mind or the wisdom. In the sixth density, love and wisdom, which have been studied separately, insofar as that is possible, are now considered in terms of their balance one with the other within the seeker. And so the sixth density is called the density of unification. Somewhere in the middle of this density, those upon the path of service to others, or the negative path as this instrument has called it, face a choice once again, for they discover beyond the shadow of a doubt that they cannot move forward in their own spiritual evolution until they have accepted at last that the heart holds truth and that other selves are the self. This is a crushing and absolutely life-changing discovery to those of service to others. And the phenomenon of reversal of polarity occurs at this point, individually for each service to others entity. We correct this instrument for each service to self entity. Each entity must make this choice again for the self, whether to stay with all that has been learned along the path of service to self, or to switch polarities and move further on, having accepted the unification of positive and negative paths as a positive path. We have called these two paths the path of that which is, that is, service to others, and the path of that which is not, service to self. And the reason that we call them this particular way is that in service to self, the heart is denied and ignored. Consequently, the main source of power for service to others' entities, and the strongest source of power for all, is left out of the scheme of things. This is the great limitation, and it is a denial. Consequently, we call service to self the path of that which is not. After the unification occurs, the end of sixth density and the seventh density are those in which the selves gradually stop turning backwards to look at what has been and begin being drawn as if by gravity into the heart of the source of all that there is, the one infinite creator. At the end of seventh density, there is a movement into timelessness. And in this time of unknowing, the heart of the Creator beats, and another creation begins. This is the panoply of cosmology within which you are now experiencing the third of seven experiences, or types of experience. And each of these densities represents a considerable length of your time. However, your third density is the shortest of all densities, being only 75,000 years long. During third density, the pattern of incarnation is, at first, quite automatic. Entities are graduating from second density because of the growing realization of love itself. As they become harvestable for whatever reason, they are able to incarnate as individuated consciousnesses, and they become what this instrument would call human. At first, incarnations are largely automatic. Little is known, much is in chaos, and there is a little learning each time, and then a relaxing from incarnation through death into the body of light that is yours between incarnations within the inner planes of this particular planetary sphere. During this time between incarnations, there is first any healing that needs to take place from the incarnation, any traumas that need adjusting and comforting and so forth. And then there is the opportunity for another physical vehicle, the descent into the world of heavy chemical bodies that your physical plane represents, the gathering of more catalysts, more information, more experiences, until the incarnational self is completely full and has done all that it hoped to do within this particular incarnation, at which time it moves through the physical death again, the healing of the incarnation after death. And gradually, as the incarnations mount up and the entity within begins to crystallize beyond the simple personality shells, this between incarnations process becomes lengthened because there is more to heal. And because more and more, as entities become more senior in their vibratory patterns, they earn the right, more and more, to have a say in their own incarnational plan. At this point within third density upon your sphere, this being the end of that 75,000 year period, each entity that incarnates upon your planet is capable of graduation from third density to fourth. Each entity has chosen the incarnational lessons of the present lifetime and the relationships that it will use for learning and for service. In this particular lifetime for each of you, there is the potential of graduation at the end of this physical death experience. Now let us say that the physical death is one thing to the body and another to the consciousness that the body is carrying about at this time. For each of you is not one being but two. You are a second density animal, a hairless or nearly hairless great ape, with certain instinctual patterns of behavior and a choice-making brain that is extremely good at choosing what to eat and how to survive and how to protect the family. And you are also this eternal being whose present life is merely a parenthesis in eternity. When the physical body is exhausted or is traumatized and can no longer sustain the breath of life, the spirit itself does not miss a beat. There is no alteration in consciousness. It is as though you were continuing to observe, but the nature of your observations change. The correctness instrument changes. For instead of observing the heart beating, the mind thinking about dinner, the feelings of the physical body as they move into your consciousness, suddenly you are experiencing what seems to be a physical body, what seems to be physical feelings, what seem to be physical incoming data. But the body itself has altered. This instrument has had the experience of moving through the gate of death. And so we are able to say through this instrument that this entity's first-hand experience was a valid one. And this entity's experience was simply that the kidneys having failed in this instrument's body, it experienced a great deal of pain. And then when death occurred, there was a cessation of the pain. There had been disfigurement of the body because of the lack of the kidneys working. Suddenly, the body was fair and perfect. The clues mounted quickly, however, that the entire situation had changed. For when this entity spoke to a rose upon a fence, an entire section of rose bush wound itself around this entity's arm, without thorns, but with endless love. This entity could hear music and see it in the air, and the colors that this entity saw were more substantial and had a life of their own. They pulsed and glowed with a three-dimensional seeming energy that is lacking in the colors upon the planet. The experience expanded through the death process rather than being cut off and then changing or stopping altogether. This is the actual experience at the time of death. Indeed, it is so persuasive that many there are who die suddenly, who take quite some time to realize that they have indeed passed through the gates of physical death and no longer have a body or an incarnation upon the planetary sphere. Now we would address that which occurs at the time of graduation. And this, in part, moves into the second question which you have asked of us this day. Picture, if you will, a walk that is long and beautiful and seems to be completely a walkway filled with light. On either side of this walkway are presences that are extremely loving and nurturing and that guard each and every spirit that walks this path of light. Picture then, if you will, a light whose very nature changes, becoming more dense, more bright, and in ways hard to describe, more challenging. It is as though elements have been added to this light as you move along this walk. The reason for this is that the nature of light changes by quanta. A photon within your density is not as complex as a photon in fourth density, which is not as complex as a photon of fifth density, and so forth. When you are walking steps of light, you are walking to find your most comfortable and attractive place to be. You're looking for your new home. This situation is somewhat complicated by the fact that many there are among your peoples now, including many within this room, who do not originally come from the Earth and its density system, but rather have moved through third, fourth, perhaps fifth, and sixth, to some extent, on other planetary spheres or within other planetary influences. Then you perhaps chose to come back to third density here. Why? For two basic reasons. Firstly, you wanted to undo a balance between love and wisdom that you felt could be improved upon and intensified. And so you came back to third density to remake the original choice and to reinvestigate the power of love, especially unlimited or unconditional love. Your second reason as a wanderer for coming here was to lend all of your being to what this instrument has called the ministry of essence upon planet Earth. It is a simple plan, and it is the basic plan of wanderers upon planet Earth. The plan is basically to come into incarnation here and become subject to the laws of third density, to forget everything that you knew so well, and to exist within this density, living a life of faith, with no proof, no way to be sure you're right, but but only your heart telling you, this is the way for me. In this way, you hoped to make the choice even more purely, even more surely, even more firmly than you did before. And so you are hoping to offer to the planet, as you make this choice, your being, as you breathe in and as you breathe out, as you love and as you accept the love of others. This allowing of the infinite Creator's love and light to flow through each of you and out into the earth plane accelerates the lightening of the vibrational energies of the planet, and consequently makes it much more possible for the planet itself to move through what is being a somewhat difficult graduation. For the planet itself is also graduating into fourth density, moving into a new area of space and time, and experiencing that addition to the photon that fourth density is bringing to the very physical creation in which you enjoy this continuing adventure. The reason that this applies to the graduational context is that in that question that was brought about a one known as Janelle, the entities involved felt that as wanderers from the fifth density, upon graduating from Earth's third density, they would automatically move back into their home vibration. This is emphatically not true. And we feel that this is a very germane point. For all wanderers become Earth natives when they incarnate. The taking of a physical body is the taking of the blood and the bone and the sinew of the entire human experience. There is no such thing as a tourist in the body on planet Earth. All of you have become natives, whatever your planets of origin or your densities of previous experience. This means that there is a very simple dynamic involved, and it involves service to others. For the graduational criterion for positive polarity is that the seeker think more about serving others than about serving the self. The minimum grade for graduation from planet Earth is 51% service to others. Now, for those who are attempting to polarize service to self, the maximum grade is 5% service to others. To say that another way, the service to self entity must fight a graduation requirement of 95% in its purity of intention to serve the self. We may say that it is about as difficult to make the grade of 51% service to others or of 95% service to self. We are extremely pleased that each of you has chosen service to others, as that is the polarity we also have chosen, and we would truly be out of our depth in attempting to be of service to those who were attempting to polarize along the other option. For service to others entity, we can only say, appreciate each moment and see what you can do to find the love in that moment. There is love in the moment. There is love in every moment. There is love in every thought. The question is, how distorted is that love? And one helpful discipline for the seeker is to look at that which comes before the attention, with an eye to using both the intellectual mind and the intuition to ask the self questions about what one is perceiving, and indeed about how one wishes to respond to what one is receiving. When an entity is able to walk the steps of light of graduation into fourth density and feel comfortable there, one is able to move into fourth density for the next experience. And this is true in a continuing way. If an entity is able to enjoy and use the light of fifth density or sixth density, the entity may indeed move back into that home vibration. However, it is first necessary to rediscover that deep self within this incarnation which you now experience. To the extent that you are able to recapitulate your choice and the decisions that lead to being able to tolerate the light that is offered to those whose thoughts are more than 51% for other entities and how to serve them. There is a tremendous amount of persistence and dedication involved in the processes of learning how to accelerate the pace of your spiritual evolution. And we would encourage each of you to take it slow, to attempt to seed experiences in silence, and to keep always before the self that light touch that is devoted to principles, but not to the extent that the self and the principles become larger than the principles. Take the principles seriously. Take the self lightly. For you will be misunderstood. You will not always have anyone who is able to support you or encourage you. There are aspects to a spiritual walk that are difficult. And indeed, most of what this instrument would call the good stuff, most of the pith and marrow of learning, is received during times of intense suffering, limitation, and change. Consequently, it is never obvious that this is a good thing. It is never clear that you are on the right track. Occasionally, all things may come together, and it is indeed a moment of clarity and delight. But again and again, you as a seeker will be in the dark night of the soul, looking for dawn, but not at all sure that it will ever come. And all of this is a refiner of souls. You are engaged in distilling a truth and a beauty that is so much larger and fuller and wholer than anything you can imagine, that we cannot express it to you. You are already a perfection that is the one infinite creator. And yet you have this opportunity not to know and yet to seek. It is it is in our experience an absolute delight. And we feel that each of you here has had those moments of clarity and delight. We ask that you believe them, that you remember them and trust the memory. For these are little gems of your truth that have popped up into consciousness from that place where joy and purity and truth live within you. This instrument would say they reside within the heart, and in a very real sense this is true, for it is through the heart center that these awarenesses are able to springboard from the subconscious or unconscious self into consciousness. In another way, we would say that these are energies of the deeper mind, this mind that attaches you to others, to the planet in which you now enjoy life, to all of life, and to the one infinite creator. This instrument is informing us that the time is nearly up for us to speak through this instrument. We do not wish to move beyond 45 minutes. We have, in a sense, touched upon the discrimination between service to self and service to others, sources within your reading and your hearing. And we simply encourage you to trust yourself. And at the same time, to get to know that self that you are trusting ever more deeply, to consult your discrimination, and at the same time to strengthen your power of discrimination by trusting it, by using it, by seeing at first hand how it works. It is a faculty within you that is a gift from the one infinite creator and from your higher self. And to this gift of discrimination is linked your guidance. And we would encourage you to move into that place within the heart where you are able to ask in the safety of your own energy field, is this true for me? If it is, move on it, use it, eat it, live it. If it is not, walk on. You will find those things that you need to be considering more and more coming to you in the words of a song or the coincidences of a roadside sign, the flight of a bird or a butterfly, those things that pop into your reality seemingly from nowhere. All of these things are messengers, and all of these things have something to say to you. Once you catch on to the synchronicity of spiritual events, you will find more and more of your experience speaking directly to you in a spiritual sense. May we say what a delight it has been to talk about these subjects through this instrument, and we would like to continue this meeting through the one known as Jim. We would leave this instrument in love and light. We are those of a cool.
I am cool. And greet each again in love and in light. Through this instrument. At this time, it is our privilege to offer ourselves in the attempt to speak to any further queries which those present may have for us of a shorter nature. Is there another query at this time to which we may speak?
I have a question too, and I'd like to take this time to thank you for sharing with us. The question I have centers on, I was thinking about the reason why Ra built the pyramids way back when, and I got to thinking that isn't part of the reason that there was the king's chamber and the queen's chamber, that chambers were designed for opening up the heart so that in the culture of the Egyptians there would be love shared amongst the members of the culture, and the complement to opening the heart was activating the brain so that true intelligence could be used in conjunction with the heart in the context of, say, love and light, or mind and spirit in the context of personal development and social development as a culture as a whole?
I have a quote, and we are aware of your query, my brother. And this is a query which is large in its scope, yet one which hopefully will lend itself to an abbreviated response, for we are often known as those who speak for too long, shall we say. At the time of the construction of the Great Pyramid, that monument of antiquity, located in the holy land that you call Egypt, the peoples of this culture were engaged in an appreciation of the one creator, which you may liken unto that philosophy that you would call a kind of animism or a paganism, in which the creator was seen in all things and was everywhere present, that wonders were a part of this culture, that the miraculous was seen as that which was, as it should be, a portion of the everyday experience. However, the individual entities of this culture were of a nature that lent itself to being taught, shall we say, by those who were other than the self. Thus, the kind of spiritual awareness that was available to these entities was that which was handed down from one entity to another, from teacher to student. Thus, within the structure called the pyramid, there were located those centers of energy that you have called the king's chamber, the queen's chamber, and the resonating chamber below the surface of the earth. Within these central locations of swirling energy, student and teacher could meet and be infused with the intelligent energy of the one creator for the purpose of healing, the purpose of teaching, and the purpose of facing the self for the potential experience of being reborn, of finding a new life, a new direction. Thus, these centers of energy within the pyramid symbolized to the population of that culture the means by which teaching and enlightenment could be achieved. Thus, the individuals were able to gain a certain amount of advancement, shall we say, within these structures, and then were able to move within the culture and to share this teaching with a greater population. these structures, for the most part, were successful in being able to share with the population of that culture the advancement which was sought. However, there was, after a period of time, the reserving of these experiences within the pyramidal structures for only those who were of an advanced status according to the measurement of wealth, of power, and position. Thus, as the information available within these structures became less and less available to the general population, the purposes of the pyramidal structures were The purposes of the pyramidal structures were perverted. And those entities who had aided in the construction of the pyramids found it necessary to take stock of themselves, shall we say, and to find other avenues of service through which they might begin to correct the imbalances that were promulgated by the reserving of the use of the pyramids to those of power and wealth. Is there a further clue, Michael?
Yes, I recently submitted a manuscript to a series of publishers, and I was wondering if anything was going to come out of what I've submitted, or if I still need to do work, or if I need another approach, or kind of what's up, so to speak, with that manuscript.
I am aware of your query, my brother, and unfortunately we are aware that to answer this query would move into an area in which we would be infringing upon your free will, for we are aware that you have made a great effort in personal sacrifice and achievement in order to have available these manuscripts and to submit them for further publication, shall we say. We recommend that one remember that there are no mistakes within this illusion, and that the effort you have put forth will produce its appropriate fruit, and that there is the necessity for maintaining the faith in the perfection of all things in this instance. Is that a further clue?
Yeah, I'm curious. Could you share with me, I'm curious about, I guess different entities, and the entities that I'm curious about specifically are Jehovah, Yahweh, Id, the Council of Layet, and an entity known as Kingna. And I was wondering if you could just share with me on the types of entities that they are.
I am cool and am aware of your query, my friend. We find that there is only a certain distance that we may move in the responding to this query, for there are elements of this query which also fall within the area of the infringement upon free will. We can suggest that there are entities such as Yahweh and Jehovah that are familiar to all who have appreciated the holy writings contained within your Bible, and that these entities, in their original and untarnished state, were what you would call social memory complexes, or groups of entities known by one name for the ease of identification of the populations they chose to serve. These entities moved in service to those of not only this planetary sphere, but others as well, most notably those of the red planet that you call Mars, who were in need of finding a new home upon which to continue their evolutionary process, having caused their original planetary sphere of home vibration to become inhospitable to life through bellicose actions. Thus, these entities within the confederation of planets in the service of the One Creator set before the Council of Saturn a proposal for transferring and somewhat altering the genetic nature of the entities of the Mars experience, that they might continue their progress towards the One upon this planetary sphere. However, their efforts were not to go without meeting in difficulties. The enhancing of one group over another for the purpose of aiding that group's ability to apprehend the nature of infinity and of unity also creates an opening for negatively oriented entities to communicate with the same Terran population and to give them the idea that perhaps they were special, they were elite, and that they were given this special nature in order that they might govern others and bring others into their influence of power. Thus, the experience of the ones known as Yahweh, the ones known as Jehovah, were difficult in that their efforts were lost to the groups of entities from the Orion, a constellation that moved also in service, yet moved in service of a negatively oriented nature, and were able to make inroads for the first time upon this planetary sphere using the efforts first offered by others within the Confederation of Planets. There is much that has been attributed to these entities that is not of their making. However, they were the first to offer the efforts that created inroads for a mixed contact, shall we say, and results which also were mixed in aiding the entities they desired to serve. Thus, upon reflection, each of these social memory complexes have also sought to find other avenues of service to this planetary population that would balance the imbalances that they feel responsible for these many years ago. Is there another query at this time?
I have one more. It has to do with it. Any suggestions that you can give that will assist me on personal healing in the areas of one doing conscious out-of-body experiences and opening the heart so that the love of God can simply be shared in a humble and consistent manner?
I am Paul, and I'm aware of your query, my brother. We would recommend that in addition to the offering of yourself in the early portion of your day to the One Creator, as you now do, that there be given over at this time a special meditation in which you visualize the heart being able to open to the extent that it can encompass greater and greater need from others for the love that can flow through them. That you see in your mind's eye the green ray energy center vibrating with a greater and greater brilliance of an apple green, that you see this center becoming bright, vivid, and crystallized, that for a few minutes of your time, you offer yourself without condition, with the open heart, for the service of the One Creator, in the face of each entity you see during your daily round of activities. Is there a further query at this time, my brother?
No, thank you very much.
I am quiet. We thank you, my brother. Is there another query?
I have a query, and I thank you for the opportunity. I recently learned of the term the neutral implant release, referring to the concept of voiding one's karma to reach graduation status in the third density. Could you help me clarify and understand some issues still unclear with this, such as what does this really mean in terms of voiding one's karma, and what does it also mean, or does it have anything to do with releasing the death hormone, which voids remaining illness?
I am Kuo, and we are aware of the nature of your query, though we do not fully grasp the opportunity that could be offered to avoid the karma of the incarnation, for to our way of looking upon the opportunities provided by each incarnation. Though each entity within the incarnation may see the karma that it has accumulated as a kind of weight or burden, we are not of the opinion that this is the most efficient way of looking at karma. To be within your third density illusion is a great privilege and honor. We see the ability of each entity within the third density to move ahead upon the evolutionary journey as being far, far greater than ever will be presented to an entity again in further density. Thus, though your density may be one in which you move in a seeming darkness lit only by the smallest of lights of your consciousness, yet this small light of your consciousness can accomplish a great deal within this illusion in a much shorter time than will ever be possible again. For those who move beyond your illusion find that the work that is able to be done there moves in a great extent because of the work that is done here within the third density illusion. Thus, we are unable to appreciate the desire to negate or remove one's karma. Perhaps we have misunderstood the query. Could you elucidate for us?
I think you've answered it adequately. I think it clarifies much. It was just a concept that was unclear to me, and I just wanted to find out your opinion.
I am Kuo, and we hope that we have been helpful in this area. Is there another query at this time?
Could I follow up her question and just ask if it would be possible that the good kind of elimination of karma would be forgiveness? Could that be what that term ends up meaning, would be forgiveness?
I am Kuo, and I'm aware of your query, my sister. the ability to forgive, to have compassion for that for which there was previously no compassion, is the healing of an incarnation, as we have heard it said. Indeed, the efforts that each entity makes in every area of the incarnation may be aided by the ability to forgive, whether the forgiveness is of another or more especially of the self. For we find that forgiveness of another and of the self are intertwined in a manner that is irrefragable, that is, they are one. As you see another entity and feel one emotion or another for this entity, it is for yourself that this emotion is truly felt, for each entity is a mirror unto you. That shows you yourself and the face of the Creator at the same time. When you are unable to perceive that this is what is being shown to you, then there arise the myriad of emotions, both those that are what you call positive and those that are what you call negative, that you attribute to this entity. When, through your own personal work and perseverance, you have been able to see that the world about you reflects your attitude back to you, then you are able to open the door to forgiveness, to compassion, to mercy, to understanding, and to those qualities that truly stop the wheel of karma and allow you that progress that you desire, the opening of the heart, so that compassion is felt not just for those about you, but for yourself, for the Creator, and for all of the creation about you. Is there a further question, my sister?
Thank you, Kuo. I do have one other question, and it was because of the fact that the instrument that is now channeling you is going to write a letter this week talking about who Ra was said to be in this particular book called The Stargate Conspiracy. And I wondered if you would like to express a confederation view on those of Ra being part of the Stargate Conspiracy, or if you would like to express any opinion that would help the one known as Jim as he writes this letter.
I'm aware of your query, my sister. And we would simply remind of this entity, as we would remind each, that all entities are a portion of the same Creator, and that to salute that Creator in each is a firm foundation on which to begin. Is there a further query at this time?
Not from me. Thank you so much, Bill.
We are those of the Quo. May we speak to any further queries at this time?
Well, I have a question. when you're dealing with situations that are like a hardship, and you try to get through it in the best you can, but is it wise to take like periods of rest to kind of recuperate before you jump back into the lion's den again? Mm-hmm. That makes me think.
I have a quote. And your query makes enough sense to us that we would say that you have answered your own query.
Thank you.
Is there another query? As it appears that we have exhausted the queries for the nuts, we shall refrain from speaking overly long for we do not wish to overtire those who have so generously offered their time and themselves for this circle of seeking. We thank each for bringing your queries and your heartfelt concerns to this circle, for it is to those of like mind that the journey is made easier by the companions that we share. We are known to you as those of Quark. We shall take our leave of this instrument and this group at this time, leaving each as always in the love and in the light of the one infinite creator. Adonai, my friend.